Amen. Well, give the Lord a hand clap there. I got so much stuff up here. A couple of things I wanted to tell you. I've already lost it. No, there it is. First thing I want to tell you is that, you know, we had last, you know, and you'll get ready. We'll run the kids video here in just a second. We talked about last week that we needed some money for the Living Waters house in Guatemala. That's the, you know, it's the oldest house there because it's the original one we built. We built the very first house there for the orphans. And so the furniture's getting bad, you know, just like anything. It's been 7 years now. And so anyway, last Sunday in the offering, we got all the money we needed to take care of all of that. Praise Jesus. So all the furniture, the television, all that was taken and bought. Now we're just whittling down on that roof there that we need. And so praise God for that. So that's a good thing. The other thing I want to I can't really show you very well. I can just tell you what's in here. Inside this box is a Texas flag. And this is the flag that flew over the Capitol building the day that Governor Perry signed the sonogram bill into law. And Maggie and Frank graciously gave this to us as an honorary thing. And we're going to find a great place of honor to put this. Just remember of all of our prayers and everything that went on that, and that helped get that bill get passed. Amen. So praise God for that. What a great thing there. Here, take that, Keith, and just set it down there. Don't let anybody get off with it. Now you're responsible. The second thing is there also is going to be, I just had this note given to me, there's going to be a tea party at the House Pasture restaurant today from 2 to 4. There's going to be some speakers there. And so if that's you can make that, you need to go and learn how not to lose your liberty. Amen? What did I say? Oh, the House Pasture restaurant in Concan. Y'all know where that is? If you don't, you should have. Ask anybody who likes to eat. There's not any of y'all that like to do that, is there? Amen. Well, go ahead and let's run this video. I want y'all to see what went on this last week at VBS here. Praise God. We'll give all the workers and all a great hand clap. They did a great job this week in touching kids' hearts and lives. So praise God for that. Amen. It was a great time. A lot of kids were touched. Parents came up here, were blessed. And so praise God for a great bunch of workers and sowing into kids' lives. Amen. Well, get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the book of Galatians chapter 2 this morning. I was going to finish up my message on the series that I've been doing on the Holy Spirit, but I couldn't do it this morning, being this is the 4th of July weekend, and I've got to preach on liberty and freedom this morning, so I'll finish that up next week. But I just was stirred in my heart this week, and I just want to share some things with you, and we're going to have communion today. And we live in a really troubled time right now. We don't live in the worst of times. There's been times worse on this earth. Are y'all with me? There's been times that the Bible says that you were raised and you were born in the place you were born and raised in the place you were raised because of God's plan for your life. Well, I'm glad I wasn't born in 1200. I'm glad I didn't live in the dark ages, you know. I'm glad I didn't go through the bubonic plagues and all the Genghis Khan hordes going across the world killing everybody. You know, that wouldn't have been a fun time to live. And a lot of times we want to think that we're in the worst time because you're in it. Hello? But you can look at history and see that we're not in the worst times, that things can get worse. Look at the person beside you and say, I don't want that to happen. I don't want things to get worse. I want things to get better. And one thing that history tells us and teaches us is that the one thing that we can never, ever give up in life is our liberty. That once you've given up liberty, once you've yielded liberty to tyranny, then you're on a course for destruction. And I believe, and I'm not trying to get into politics or anything like that this morning. Wouldn't take me much to do that. But that's not where I'm trying to go this morning. But I'm trying to tell you in life, there's twofold things happening on the face of the earth right now. The one is the devil wants to steal liberty from you in your spiritual walk with Jesus. He wants you to compromise your walk. He wants to compromise your character. He wants to compromise your integrity. He wants you to compromise your faith in the Word. He wants to bring doubt and unbelief into your life. He wants you to believe that Jesus is not going to take care of you, that God does not love you, that you're set on a course of failure. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants you to compromise. And in every way and every chance he has in life to get you to believe that, then if you believe it, he's stealing liberty from you. On the other hand, I believe also that there is evil people on the face of this earth who wants to steal our natural, God-given liberties from us in this country that we live in. Because they want to tell you how to worship. They want to tell you what you can do. They're so involved in being politically correct that they have forgotten about anything that has to do with decency and righteousness. And that there's something on the face of the earth right now trying to get us to look at a global world rather than who you are as an American. And they're trying to steal and take every liberty and freedom from you that they possibly can. Now, let me give you some definitions here. If you look up in Webster's Dictionary, okay, liberty, it says the right to do as one pleases. Liberty. Well, let me ask you something. That means liberty could be used for good or used for bad. Then if liberty is the definition of liberty is you can do the right to do as one pleases. Well, then if you want to shoot somebody, just shoot them. Right? You want to go be a cocaine addict. You just go be a cocaine. The right to do. You've got liberty. But let me ask you a question. If that kind of liberty is given to everyone, then doesn't that mean that you have to have that with caution? Just because you have the right to do it doesn't mean you should do it. I saw one of these, I don't even know what it was on. It was on television, but a deal where a guy was going to jump off of the Royal Gorge and was going to jump off the deal. And so, of course, it was illegal to do that. And they were going to, what do you call it, base jumping. And so he went up there and they had the guys filming everything. So he jumps off and he does a couple of flips. And, man, the dude's just falling. And all of a sudden his parachute comes up. And you just kind of see it kind of open. The water splashes. And his brother's filming it. And he says, oh, my God, you know, my brother's dead. I mean, because he didn't do it right. Now, you have the liberty to do something, but I would highly suggest that you shouldn't jump off bridges. Right? The guy lived. He never jumped again, but he lived. Just because you have the right to do it doesn't mean you should do it. The world today is trying to take liberty and say, oh, well, everybody ought to have the right to do what everybody wants to go do. But if you just go live that away, folks, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to end with a life of disaster. The same with our spiritual walk. If you just say, oh, well, I can do anything I want to do, it doesn't really make any difference. Well, whoa, you better hold on. Oh, God's grace will forgive me. I can go do whatever I want to go do because God's grace is going to forgive me. Listen to me. You're living under cheap grace and you're abusing liberty. And what's going to happen is you're abusing liberty. You're going to end up losing freedom. Because freedom, in my book, this is a Robert Richards thing. Liberty is what has been bought and paid for. Freedom is the exercising of that right. It's two different things. You can't say interchange freedom and liberty, even though when you look into a dictionary, it says freedom and liberty can be interchanged. But to me, liberty is that what was bought and paid for, what gave you the right to have freedom. Freedom is exercising that. And the more you abuse liberty, the less freedom you're actually going to have. And the world today, listen to me, church, this doesn't have anything to do with what political party you're believing in. It has everything to do with when the world wants to change and say, no, we need to look and let everybody do what everybody wants to do. I can tell you that ain't going to work. And if people who have good sense Don't stand up and tell people who don't have good sense that isn't going to work. We're going to all lose freedom. Hello? It's the same with a spiritual walk. The same with a spiritual walk. You say, oh, it's okay, I can go do that. Listen to me, you better think about the consequences of those actions. Because you say, oh, well, God will forgive me. Yeah, yeah, but you damage your soul. And then you got to get healed in your soul. Sometimes it's better for you not to give somebody a piece of your mind, because then you got to go try to get that piece back. And, you know, we may not have a lot to give away. How many times something's come out of my mouth and I just wanted to be, you know, like the cartoon, it was going out there and I could grab it and pull it back in and say, okay, let's put that. You didn't hear that. It's too late. It's launched off your lips. It's out there. You with me? When you use liberty for the wrong process or the wrong purposes, you're going to lose freedom. Liberty comes with a great price that someone, listen to me, someone had to pay. We don't sit here in America today having liberty by not the blood of patriots and the blood of soldiers, men and women around this world that have paid for us to sit here today and have liberty. The liberty we're experiencing today was not cheap. Came with a great price. So the liberty you have in Jesus Christ came with a great price. It came with the price of His blood on a cross for you to have liberty. So that the devil wouldn't have total and complete dominion over your life. And he dictated where you were going to go and how life was going to go and what was going to happen to you in life. That you couldn't stand there and say, no, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. When faced with a problem in life that you couldn't say, well, hey, wait a minute, this is the victory that overcomes the world. It's my faith. And I believe in my God who will deliver me. The cheaper the grace is, the less freedom you'll have. The cheaper the grace is, the less freedom you'll have. The more a person says, oh, we can go out and do this. I told y'all, I believe it was last week or maybe it was the week before about Chrislam. That there's pastors literally in the United States wanting to make peace with the Muslims. And so they're going out and saying, look, let's have a Muslim cleric come into church with us. And he'll find a passage in the Quran that kind of matches the passage in the New Testament. And I'll read the New Testament script verse of it. And you read that. And we're trying to show everybody how we can all live together. And they're calling it Chrislam. Hello? Does we see anything that could possibly be wrong with that? Anything that might be a little off. Folks, let me tell you something. When you start giving up liberties like that, and then you say, well, listen, you want to stand up and say, well, sir, I don't believe that scripture you read is right. And they say, listen, you need to be quiet because you can't do that. Well, as soon as things like that start to happen, you know, thank God we live in America and there should be freedom of speech. Right? But listen to me, when they tell me I can't preach because we have to give place to that, we don't want to offend anybody, well then folks, that's wrong. The minute somebody tells you you can't pray in the name of Jesus, when that's your right and freedom of speech because you don't want to offend anybody else, listen, it's not about offending anybody else, but it's about you expressing what you want to believe. The minute you give up those rights, you lose freedom. Right now, there's a war going on, and I'm ashamed to say it, in Houston, Texas. At the Veterans Cemetery in Houston, Texas, because they have passed ordinance or whatever you want to call it that says that you cannot use any prayer that's going to be prayed over a serviceman's funeral has to be submitted to the director, and they cannot have the word God in it nor Jesus. And they're fighting it and fighting it. And all the ladies that work in the funeral home can't, I mean, not the funeral home, but the cemetery, the veteran cemetery, can't go up to the family, the bereaving family, and say, we're sorry for your loss. God bless you. They can't say God bless you. They can't present the flag to them and say, may God comfort you and your family. Houston, Texas. This isn't Cambodia. This isn't an Eastern Bloc country. This is our own hometown. 4.5 hours from here. And they're telling us you can't say a prayer in the name of God. The Veterans Administration. I don't know. I can't go there. I'm just preaching. I'm just griping, complaining. I'll figure it all out next week and we'll do something about it. But I'm telling you right now, I don't know all the details. I'm just telling you that's what's happening. Because it's the federal government. And the federal government doesn't want and wants to be politically correct. You can't do it. I'm just telling you folks, you let a little bit of liberty go, I'm telling you, you're going to have problems. When the dog only killed one chicken, and he said, I just killed one, he's going to be back in the hen house. But it goes both ways. I'm preaching a twofold message here this morning. Listen to me, church. It goes both ways. When you start to give up your rights as a Christian, you start to compromise your faith and your belief. Well, it's okay. We can do that. Well, we'll just do it once. Folks, I'm telling you, you're starting to give up your liberties there, and you're the one giving them up. Because there was a great price paid for your salvation in Jesus Christ. A great price paid by the blood of the Son of God. Bought your rights, bought your privileges to walk in victory. And the minute you start to compromise it, the minute you start to call sin not sin anymore, well, then I want to tell you something, then you're in trouble. I don't travel all over the United States. I don't get to go anything, but my buddy Ivan does. And he calls me and tells me, he says, you can't believe what pastors are preaching. You can't believe what's going on in churches. You can't believe, you know, how much is taking place and how much garbage is in the church. He said, it makes me sick. Folks, I'm telling you, we live kind of like here in a little land that time forgot, you know. We're not up to snuff here with the rest of the world out there, praise God. We about made it to 1960 here, I think. The way we think and the way we do things and the way we operate, you know. Praise God for that. But the world out there is going nuts. It's not any new news. The Bible says it in the last days, in the end times, that people are going to give themselves over to the doctrines of devils and deceiving spirits, and they're going to go off and do everything that's unclean and unhealthy and is not pleasing in God's eyes. It's going to happen. But the situation is, as I'm telling you this morning and reminded you on this 4th of July, the day that our independence was bought and that was paid for by the blood of martyrs to the Revolutionary War, to remind you, don't give up your freedom. Don't sell out your liberty. Do not compromise and live a life of holiness unto the Lord. Now, I want to read something here to you. I hadn't even got to the... Let me do both here. Let me read from the Word here first. Galatians chapter 2. Look at what happened here. The church at Galatia had received the word of faith. They'd been believing in faith. And in verse 4 it says that these people had come in. It says, this occurred because a false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we had in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us unto bondage, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. What had happened is people came into the church and began to say, look, you guys have got to follow the Old Testament law. Yeah, you can have faith in Jesus. Yes, you can believe in Jesus, but you have to follow circumcision like it was in the Old Covenant. You had to follow that Old Covenant law. And the Apostle Paul said, what are you doing, guys? He said, don't listen to these guys. Don't listen to them at all. They're trying to get you back in works, back in bondage. It's by faith in Jesus Christ that a person believes and is saved. Hello? I want to read from you out of a book here. about the Revolutionary War. And I'm just going to read it here. This is the way it starts out. "Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. There is a just God who presides over the destinies of nations and who will raise up friends to fight our battles for us," Patrick Henry proclaimed as he continued his speech in the old church in Richmond on March the 20th of 1775. "There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking has been heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable. Let it come. I repeat it, sir, let it come," Henry called out. "It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry peace, peace, but there is no peace. War has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps across the North will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. We stand here idle. What is the gentleman's wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to purchase at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it. Almighty God, I know not what course others may take, but as for me," can anybody finish that? "Give me liberty or give me death." He said that in a church. He wasn't the pastor. The pastor gave him the pulpit that morning and he preached that in church. I don't know how many of you know this. You may all know it. But that the very first shots were fired from the church at Lexington on the church lawn. The British soldiers had come down. They were coming down the road. They were going through Lexington and Concord, and they were going to specifically Lexington to get the ammunition and the arms that was stored there, that was being sold to the militia, that was open and freely to be sold. Every frontiersman could go in there and buy him a keg of powder and some balls, patches, and whatever he needed for his weapons. And they were coming to take it, because they knew if they had anything to shoot or had guns, that there'd be a war. And so the British were coming into town to take it. 50 militia had gathered in the church grounds, because that's where everybody gathered in those days at the church. That was the meeting hall. That was the center of everything. They didn't have convention centers and things like that. They met at the church. When the soldiers came into town, Paul Revere just made his ride. Had just gone trying to announce to everybody they could that the redcoats were coming. Trying to alert it all. He had been captured, but they turned him loose. And he ran down to be on the square with the rest of the militia when one of the colonels turned and said, "I've left some documents in my office at a tavern. Can you please go and get them?" I don't know. I'd be interested to see it all in life, but Paul Revere must have been fast. He ride a horse fast. I don't know what he looked like. I just figured him as this little skinny guy. Because you wouldn't turn to some pot-bellied older guy and say, "Hey, yo, run over there and get something." So he must have been some kind of a skinny runner, you know, or something, and could ride a horse. Because he was always doing everything that had to do with speed. And anything that had to do with speed, he said, "Call Paul Revere, let him go do it," you know. So you just don't call people that look like me to go do things like that. You just say, "Robert, just stand here behind this barrel and shoot when they come, okay?" And so... He ran down there to get the documents, and when he got the documents, he was coming back, and they had already come into town, and he was actually behind the British and had to sneak around and went through the militia, but he had to get those papers out of there. And as he crossed the next building, the volley fire opened. He heard it, but he wasn't there. I hear today the sounds of the volley fire in both the natural and the spiritual realms. I hear the devil taking shots at people left and right, trying to take them out. I see and I hear the pressure of the enemy putting upon people to go ahead and give in to sin and give in to the things of the world and go ahead and just compromise their faith and compromise their belief and compromise their character. I hear the volley fire in the spirit of what's going on. And I hear the volley fire in the natural when things come up and things happen in our Congress, and congressmen are doing this and presidents are doing this, and that's taking place here and this is going on here. And I hear the same volley fire taking on, the same cry of the red coats are coming, the red coats are coming. Because I'm telling you, church, when you lose liberty, you lose freedom. And we cannot compromise freedom in any way. If you give the devil one inch in your life in sin, he's going to take a mile. If I can remember how I used to say it, I used to tell the teenagers this when I was a youth pastor. I'd say, listen to me, sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you there longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And that's the way it is. You cannot compromise the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God. We either believe it's true and there is no compromise. I don't understand it all the time. I can't explain everything from Genesis to Revelation. I don't understand it all. But there's a move in the world today trying to tell us that God's a loving God. He's going to take care of everything. Everything's going to be okay. You can believe in Allah. You can believe in Buddha. You can believe in Jesus. You can do whatever you want to. And it's all going to work out in the end. And I say, bull. That is not what my Bible says. There isn't anything wrong with my Bible. My Bible, I don't care if I'm reading King James, New King James, NIV, whatever the translation may be. My Bible says that there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. I can't compromise it. Can't compromise it. Oh, you know, you can do anything you want to. I don't care what you wear today. We're just talking to Frankie and Maggie. They're in Hawaii at church, and the pastor had on flip-flops and shorts. That ain't going to make a hill of beans one way or the other. I got on blue jeans and boots. That's a mute point, unless they're running through the sticker patch. Unless you got a flat and you have to walk through the cactus, I'm going to be ahead. But that's a mute point. That doesn't mean anything. That's not what it's about. It's not about how you dress or what you look like or what you like to eat or you got to do this or you got to do that. That's not what it's about. It's about this word and compromising this word and what this word means, and people twisting the word to suit their sin and not calling sin, sin. I love the stories of the old time evangelists when they would preach, and as they begin to preach, that people would run to the altar and repent and get right, and just they'd come into town and there'd be people already out on the streets weeping before they ever got to town because their hearts were convicted. Today we got people doing the most atrocious things. I mean, the world wants to argue about this and that and the other one. We're murdering babies, folks. It's not right. No matter how you cut it, it is not right. I don't know how to fix the economy, okay? I don't know how to fix the economy. I just know in my own life the principles of the Word of God that God's taught me. And I can guarantee if they'd apply the same principles, they'd have success. We can't give up our liberty. We have to be people that are so firm, so rooted, so grounded in the Word of God. You know, or as our president said, radicals who just believe in, cling to their Bibles and their guns. Thank you, Jesus. Right? I mean, must agree with him. Yeah. It said that it didn't. This isn't anything new, though. It's what I want you to understand this morning. This is not new. Here in Galatians chapter 2, it was the same thing. The church was experiencing the same thing, coming in to spy out their liberties. Let's read on. Look at verse chapter 3, verse 1. He says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified?" He said, man, what what devilish thing has got hold of you? Who's bewitched you? You know, like cast a spell on you. What got you to thinking that it would be okay to start giving up your freedom? To start listening to these guys and their teaching? Paul said, we didn't even listen to it for an hour. We ran them off. It's a good thing to be this away. Because when you're set and you've got your face set to walk in what the Word of God says, then all you have to know for every situation in life is what does the Word of God say? You don't have to worry, well, what about this and what about that? Well, no. You don't have to worry about it. Just what does the Word say? The word bewitched there in the Greek, it means to fascinate by false representation. To fascinate by false representation. Folks, listen to me. Don't be fascinated by the peanut trick, you know? We get the peanut shells and roll them around and say, oh, they know which one it is. It's in their hand. In case you want to know why you can't find the peanut, it ain't under there. Just listen, Pastor, on that one. I'll save you something there. It ain't there. It's in their hand. They palmed it. Don't be fascinated. You know, the magician, I don't remember how even years ago when they did it on television, he was going to make an elephant disappear. The elephant did not disappear. I mean, they may have made it look like he disappeared. He just didn't lose an elephant. I mean, my brain's smart enough to tell me that elephant did just, where do you go? Oh, man, it's magic. What? It's an elephant. It don't, natural laws apply here. I don't know where he went, where the illusion took place. But that elephant didn't disappear. Come on. Everybody said, wow, the elephant disappeared. No, I mean, you know, there's a hole somewhere. A big one. There's a mirror, there's a something, but the elephant did not disappear. Are y'all with me on this now? I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings about that and y'all thought it did disappear. They didn't saw the lady in half. All right? As a trick. I don't know how she did it, but, you know, they didn't saw her in half. Right? It's an illusion. That's what that word means, bewitched. It means to make, create an illusion to where it seems like, oh, look at that. And the world right now is full of illusions, but those illusions, when you give yourself to them, take freedom from you. Hello? I mean, they got deodorants now that tell you that if you just put a deodorant on and walk out on the beach, man, the girls are going to flock to you. Women will just faint when they smell. It is an illusion. You may not stink so bad, but I'm telling you, it ain't gonna work. I wonder if anybody's ever gone back and tried to get, I want my money back for that stuff. That stuff don't work no more. I went out there to the beach and ain't nothing happened. Y'all with me? It's an illusion. It's a bewitchment. That's what Paul's using there. He says, look, don't let anybody bewitch you. Don't let anybody say, oh, all you got to do is do this and this and then everything works right. Folks, listen to me. There's one way to serve God, and that's holiness unto the Lord. Are y'all hearing me? There's one way to serve Jesus with all your heart. It's called holiness unto the Lord. And that's it. There isn't any other way. There's no trickery. There's no quick fix. There's no whatever it's called, serving Jesus Christ with all of your heart. It's called taking up your cross and following Him. Hello? You ever, you know, you think about that? Take up your cross and follow me? Taking up crosses and carrying them is not fun. It's hard. Nobody said it was going to be easy. But if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. It's not easy to serve Jesus Christ. Unless you kill your flesh, then it gets easy. But as long as your flesh pulling you back into the world, makes things difficult. Look at this. Look down at in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Now, this is the Apostle Paul saying this. For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You've been called to liberty. Jesus paid the price for us to walk in liberty. He paid the price for us to walk in liberty. Folks, He wants you free. He wants you free. He wants you happy. He wants you in peace. He wants you in rest. God created the Sabbath for rest. He created the day, a day for you and Him to be in rest and to be in peace. He wants you in His presence. He wants you there with Him. Listen to me, folks. God wants good things for you. And the only thing that keeps you from the goodness of God is you gave up your liberty. You lost your freedom. So now you feel guilty and you don't want to go in God's presence. You feel ashamed because you don't want to go into God's presence. Now you've given up your liberty. Now you've given up your freedom. The answer you want and desire, you don't want to go into because you feel ashamed. Listen to me, folks. The good thing about serving Jesus Christ is that He has a day like today where you can come and you can repent and you can ask Him to forgive you and you can ask Him to wash your sins away. You can start out fresh and anew. You can come and have communion and you can commune with Him and the blood of Jesus will wash you and cleanse you from all your sins. That is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Amen. So ladies, can I have y'all bring the communion down? And we're going to have that right now. I don't know what's going on in your life. I'm just the preacher. But I do know this, that Jesus will forgive you. That He will cleanse you, He will touch you, He will bless you, He will minister to you. I want you to know that here at Living Waters Church, we have an open communion service. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're more than welcome to come and to have communion with us and to receive what He's done on the cross for you. Now's the time to begin to let the Holy Spirit come in and work on you. Bring to mind what's going on, what you need to ask forgiveness for. And then to stand up and be a Patrick Henry and say, I tell you what, Lord, I'm standing up today. Give me liberty. Give me liberty, Lord, in my life. I want to be free from what sin's done to me. And I'm telling you, He'll do it. Amen. Can I have my pastoral team and prayer team come down? Because I want to serve y'all so you can help me serve the people. Church, the scripture's plain. It says on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread and He blessed it and He broke it. And He gave it to His disciples and says, now take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He took a simple loaf of bread but he made it his broken body for you. Church, I don't know what's broken in your life today, but here's your answer. It's faith in the blood of Jesus, faith in the bread of Jesus, faith in his broken body for you. So, Lord, we thank you for it. We thank you for this bread. We thank you for your broken body for us, Lord, and healing us this day. In Jesus' name. Then afterwards, he took the cup. And he said, now, this cup is a new covenant. Man, church, I'm so glad we don't live under the old covenant. I'm glad I get to go back and I get to read about the old covenant. But I'm glad we don't live under the old covenant. And we can live under the new covenant. He said it's a new covenant that's poured out in my blood for the forgiveness of your sins. This cup, it's just grape juice. But by faith, it's the blood of Jesus that forgives you and cleanses you. Folks, not a person in here should walk out these doors today with any guilt or shame in your life for what you've done, because forgiveness is right here. So, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for your forgiveness in our lives. In Jesus' mighty name.